This is the SB Live Washington podcast, your weekly conversation about high school sports and the people who play them across the Evergreen State. I'm Andy Bueller, reporter with SB Live. And with me, the prodigal son of Tacoma, your pal and mine, although depending on the week, he's nobody's pal. We'll let him be the ultimate decider of that. Todd Millis is with me. We're going to talk week two. Give a look at the high school football slate across the state ahead. Live on the site right now is your week two primer on scorebooklive.com/Washington. But before we do that, after we talk about week two, I am headed out to Kennewick's practice to hopefully talk to Miles Mayofsky, star running back and linebacker, who's been a three-year standout for them. The Lions have very high expectations this season and might be one of the top title-contending teams east of the mountains. But before we get into that, Todd, we're staring down week two. It's already here. We're already in the flow of a high school football season. How you feeling?
I'm everybody's pal this week, man. We've gotten a lot of our preview stuff out, Andy. We worked pretty hard getting, 50 team previews. Our preseason All-State team is up. A lot of game coverage in week one, a lot of interesting teams. It's weird not being east with you. Usually we take we make a pilgrimage over there once or twice a year for each sport. So be well over there.
Yeah, I guess I didn't mention this at the top, but I am coming to you live from a hotel room in Kennewick, Washington, where I am headed out, obviously, to Kennewick practice, but passing through town to see one of the great matchups every year, at least of the last few years, but especially this year in the Mid-Columbia Conference on Thursday. That's Kamiokin and Chiawana. Both teams will compete for an MCC title. Chiawana has won this last three matchups here, and as much firepower as Chiawana has had offensively in recent years, they run into a tall task facing that tough, hard-nosed, hard-hitting defense at Kamiokin, and this year is no exception. So I'm really excited to cover that game as I kind of track through the eastern part of the state. Got Battle of the Bell at Mount Spokane Mead on Friday. Todd, we'll get into where we are going to be and what to expect from us this week. But before we do, I want to touch on some storylines. In week one, we saw some of the top leagues entering the season historically just do really, really well. The 4A Kinko went 5-0 in week one. The GSHL, it's our top two predicted teams, both won, Union and Skyview, with Camas dropping, a game to an Oregon Power and Central Catholic. The 4A SPSL swept as well. Todd, going in at this point of the season, as we've gotten 1 week under and teams haven't really... league's play is not in full swing yet. Do we kind of tip the scales to the Kinko here? Which league so far 1 week in is looking the strongest?
Well, I mean, I'm not ready to bail on the 4A SPSL, Andy. I mean, GK, Sumner, Puyallup posting impressive wins, Bellarmine Prep. And again, these are teams that were in our all-classification top 50 preseason rankings. Really impressed with, the SPSL 4A big wins. But, this is why I never like to buck tradition. This is why I never thumb my nose to leagues that are able to sustain success over a long period of time. And the 4A Kinko, which we've talked about previously, maybe a little bit down with so many seniors that graduated off these contending teams. But let's just throw some names out there. Guys that maybe even after week one, we need to get used to. Avery Walker, Mount Si, quarterback. Logan Lascio, quarterback, Bothell, kid from transferred from Hawaii. Parker Barry Smith, Eastlake, very impressive in his debut against Kentwood. Kennedy McGill was somebody we saw last spring. He was kind of the one guy returning at North Creek at quarterback. But again, 1 week, but the 4A Kinko. Not only won, but they won in convincing fashion in most of those games. So, yeah, I don't – this is why I hesitate to even go down that road of, is this the year a particularly strong league slumps like the GSHL, like the SPSL, you know, like the Kinko, those two leagues over in Eastern Washington for a the MCC and GSL. So, so far so good on the Kinko though.
You saw some of that action. We'll see some more of it this weekend with that Mount Si Yelm game, which is a product of a couple COVID cancellations, some scheduling, recycling. Right before games got started, Mount Si put it on a shorthanded Federal Way team, and we can talk more maybe about them when we talk about kind of three games to watch in week two. But early returns on Mount Si, Todd. Graduated a lot of talent, including a really good quarterback in Clay Millen. Both Millens are now gone, but the Wildcats are still appear to be really strong. That'll face a test this Friday, though.
Yeah, as Charlie Canoon said, you know, you asked him about the matchup. Again, you mentioned this is a matchup that came out of some COVID cancellations, and he thought that Yelm's offense was maybe a little further along than its defense, and on the flip side, he thinks his defense is probably a little further along than his offense. Not saying that either other unit is bad. He just was really impressed with Braden Platt, Kyler Ronquillo on that offensive line of Yelm, putting up some points and yards on Lincoln last week. But I know he's, you know, that front seven that he has, you know, at Mount Si with those linebackers, Mr. Clay at defensive end, was really impressed with the way they got after it with Federal Way last week. Again, this season for Mount Si, a lot of it's going to hinge on the development of Avery Walker, but they have a contingency plan in place. They've gone back to sort of his roots, you know, that sort of that power running football, two back, a lot of tight ends. Just to make sure Avery gets comfortable. And I bet you this is a team passing wise that, you know, as the season progresses, maybe midseason on, we're going to see Avery Walker, you know, the training wheels kind of come off a little bit as a first year starter, but a really good early season test, quite frankly, might be the best game on the west side here in week two.
There's another game happening with a team that surprised us in week one, that is traveling out of state to play a national power. That is Eastside Catholic coming off of a convincing win, short-manned, really, really, really impressive win. We talked about it on our early week podcast. They beat Kennedy short-manned, down 24 players, 10 starters, and oh, hey, they get to turn around and go to Valor Christian in Colorado and play. And that's a Colorado power. You might recognize that name because that's a school Christian McCaffrey went to. It has a 4-5-star, depending on what recruiting service you look at, running back in Gavin Sawchuk, who's committed to Oklahoma. Might be the best running back they face all year. Might be. I say that with italics. But Eastside Catholic gets a nice little test in week two to follow up a tough week one win. Todd, do we expect Eastside to go over and represent?
Man, it's a tough task. You know, I talked to Don Dosti here this week. Thinks he'll have most, if not all, of his guys that sat out in week one back for the game, but not necessarily practices. And that's kind of that's going to be an uphill climb, not getting a chance to prepare for what Valor Christian does on offense. Especially, you mentioned Gavin Sawchuk. Might be the best running back that they face all year. He's an Oklahoma commit as a senior. Said Jason Brown was maybe in the conversation too. So no disrespect to Jason and O'Day,
is that Dom paying some respect to his Metro League foe there in O'Day, a team that they will face at some point this season?
Hey, he doesn't want to give him any bulleted board material. No, you know, he got to face Jason a lot, obviously, last year in the Metro League playoffs. But, you know, Dom, I asked him, I said, how did this game get set up? You know, it's kind of an interesting pivot out of state. They've played teams out of state before, but not Valor Christian. And he said he got to know second-year Valor Christian coach Johnny Yantis when he was the recruiting coordinator at Arizona State University, came up. Had recruited DJ Rogers when he was in the college game, and they got to become friends. And I think there was even some talk that Donnie had kind of reached out to Dom and said, hey, would you be interested in coming and being on my staff? But instead they scheduled this non-league game together. You know, it might be a good weekend to kind of get out of state and go play in beautiful Colorado and come home and kind of refocus on a very tough Metro League schedule moving forward.
Well, you talked to athletic director at Eastside Catholic, Stacy Stout, about the way that they schedule and the way that they approach their non-league. Playing in a really tough league in the 3A Metro, Eastside Catholic still sees itself as a program that wants to be relevant nationally. And to do that, you got to go play these games and you got to go win these games. And Eastside Catholic, two seasons ago, went down to Las Vegas and played in that high school bowl game after it won a 3A state title, lost handily. They've certainly had a lot of experience playing out of state. Opened that season in 2019 against Central Catholic down in Portland, and so this is a program that wants to see itself in that picture. A really good way to assert yourself as a program is to do it with a team that might not have the Division I prospects that years past have. That's Eastside Catholic this year, coming off a really strong Week 1 win. So looking forward to seeing how that one plays out on Friday at 6 p.m. Colorado time. A game that I'm going to be at on Friday, as I mentioned, is Mount Spokane Mead. And Mount Spokane got to play its first game in a really beautiful new district stadium in the spring. That was when fans were not allowed in the stadium to the maximum capacity that everyone would have liked. So what we're going to get is a really, really fiery rivalry between Mount Spokane Mead in a packed brand new stadium here on Friday. I expect Mount Spokane, which is firmly nestled in our top 10 rankings at the 3A level, as well as our all-class top 25. I expect Mount Spokane to win that game. Mead is still finding its legs with a first-year head coach in Keith Stamps, who went to Mead. He was at Deer Park, found success there, built a good program there at Deer Park, and is still very early in week two of what he calls a dream job. So facing a tall task in Mount Spokane, the one thing, Todd, that I'm really looking forward to seeing is a young man we've had on this very podcast, and that's Ethan Machowski, kicker, all-state kicker, Texas A&M commit, five-star, according to Chris Saylor and the kicking gurus. Todd, Ethan Machowski kicked two kickoffs through the uprights last week. What's your over-under on how many that's going to be against Meade on Friday?
Well, every one of them out of the end zone. And it's a rivalry game. You know he's going to be pumped up. So Thunder Leg, I think, is going to have – he's going to double that this week. He's going to know you're in attendance on the sideline. Who knows? He might come over and kind of give you that fist pump. What a weapon. I mean, you know, I talked to Terry Clore a little bit earlier this week, and he just feels like anytime they're inside the 50, Andy, they have a shot. They have a shot with this guy's leg. There's a reason why he's ranked as highly as he is. He's going to Texas A&M. He seems to be just a lock. Like 50-yard field goals are like chip shots to him. I mean, he's hitting it from over 60 in practice. He said it's funny because when he hit a 62-yarder in training camp, they backed him up five more yards, and Terry goes, man, he just missed by this much. I mean, this much from 67 yards, Andy. I hope he really puts on a show for you on Friday night in the rivalry game.
Well, he proved last year. I mean, he scored more points than any other player in that game last year. Mount Spokane won 16-9. You know, it was a low scoring, grinded out game. Not a ton happening offensively. So he's the type of guy that you not only can rely on, in opponent's territory, he can bail you out of a lot of situations when the offense isn't going. So I highly recommend, if you want to learn more about Ethan, he's a really, really nice young man, has more of a quiet personality, lets his play do a lot of the talking, but he joined our podcast in the spring and just talked about his trajectory as a kicker coming into the program and earning a starting spot as a freshman. And he'd never really played before, his background in club soccer and all of that led, to where he is now as the state's top kicker headed to Texas A&M. So really looking forward to that one, Todd. What's maybe a game or two that you're looking forward to this week?
Yeah, and we've previewed three games, sort of three co-games of the week. There's a rivalry down in Southwest Washington that never disappoints. They had two games last year. Watched them in a mud pit the year before when they were both ranked 1 and 2, and that's Napa Vine traveling to Onalaska, number 2 Napa Vine at number 3 on Alaska. And Keith Olson, we've talked about him a number of times, an All-State offensive tackle that's going to USC. They've got a lot of their skill position players back. It's interesting because both quarterbacks are the younger brothers of guys who started last year. So the difference is Napavine has a game under its belt. They beat Adna last week, and Ani's game was canceled. They tried desperately to get a game under its belt. So it did not happen. So, you know, Caden Mozingo is the young man's name that's going to start at quarterback this week at Onalaska. Really, the only live reps he has is in the scrimmage they had at Eatonville and Ording. So a pretty scary proposition if you're a junior making your first start and you see Keith Olson and company busting through the line and coming at you. So, but again, just a great rivalry, both those towns separated by mere miles, and should be another great 2B Southwest District showdown.
Yeah, no question. I think there's a lot of interesting storylines across the state this week. I'm looking forward to seeing if, you know, Prosser and Zilla face this week, and if Prosser can bounce back from a week one loss at Sunnyside by beating a really strong 1A team that came out of the gate hot last week. So there's that game in the central part of the state. Of course, as you mentioned, Mountain View Union. That's a rivalry game that goes back years. Two really well-coached programs. Adam Matheson believes in this Mountain View team to the degree that, if not more, that he believed in his team that reached the 3A state semis in 2018. This is a team with a ton of experience, and you know that usually bodes well for the Thunder as a program. And they've kind of been a thorn in the side in past years of Union, its district rival. Union, of course, is going to be looking for a bounce back game after dropping a week one against O'Day. It'll have the perfect opportunity to do so this Friday. That being said, that year that Union won the state title in 2018, opening week, Mountain View was on the goal line, had a chance to put Union away in week one in a season that Union eventually ran the table in. Ended up fumbling, but they almost did. And so that's why I never count out the Thunder when they play Union. So, but I think mainly, maybe by the time you're listening to this, this game's already happened, but Kamiakin and Chiawana, the MCC was seen as a three-team title race with Chiawana and Kamiakin, who have been up there in recent years. And then Richland, who feels like it's on an upswing this year, has a lot of experience from teams that have, posted mediocre records by Richland standards, which are very high, a team that's been in the state picture in recent years. This is going to be the first MCC tune-up and real test, I think, of the year. We get it early. This game usually doesn't happen this early, and Chiawana's winners of the last three, and they've kind of been grinder games the last 2 years, 15-14 in the spring, 10-7 in 2019. So, I'm going to be looking for the team with more defensive takeaways and the team that can keep the opposing offense off the field longer is going to win this game. Kamiakin's defense, both teams looking really strong in week one. So a lot to look forward to there. But
I think we're disrespecting Chiawana a little bit heading into the season. I mean, we had them kind of as our third team in that 4A MCC. I know they lost a lot. Isaiah Anderson got hurt right before the football season. They're a really good nose guard. That's going to obviously be a big loss along that defensive line. But they do have a guy that is in his fourth year at starting at quarterback in JP Samora, a guy that can hurt you with his arm and his leg. Do you feel like we've sort of disrespected, or maybe they're maybe a little underwritten heading into this year, Andy?
Maybe underwritten's the better word, because disrespected is a word that I think teams and players and fans like to throw out, but. If you're ever in the room with the two of us when we put together these rankings, at no point do we ever say, yeah, let's go ahead and disrespect this team because we don't believe in them. I think, you know, Scott Bond is in his second year with this program. He won MCC Coach of the Year in his first. He was a good offensive coordinator under legendary Steve Graf, who stepped down two seasons ago. I don't think you can ever count Chiawana out. This is a team that's won a 4A state title in epic, epic fashion. And JP Zamora, the quarterback, was a ball boy on that. He was on the, I don't think he was a ball boy, but his older brother was the quarterback, and he was on the sidelines of that game. So this is a team that I think just needs another shot at a playoff, and it's just so tough in the MCC because you have to make it through that meat grinder, and we haven't even mentioned 3A Kennewick in that picture. Which these teams will have to face. So to answer your question, you know, I think Chiawana could surprise teams. You know, if they come back and win this league again, are we going to be sitting here scratching our heads saying, man, who would have thought? No, because they've done it the past few years. So certainly capable, but I think it's as open as it's been in a few years this year.
I'll tell you, if they run the table in the MCC with as many guys as they've lost, and I know they have JP Zamora running the offense. They run the table this year. If Scott Bond isn't a repeat coach of the year in that league and still be undefeated, better winning record, better winning percentage than Steve Graf, then there's something wrong. But that would be a Herculean feat for anybody in that league to run the table, I think, with those four really, really good quality teams.
Yeah, I would be surprised, especially this year. But, you know, hey, I've been surprised before. So we'll see what happens here on Thursday night. I'm going to go head out to Kennewick's practice. Hopefully we'll get Miles Mayofsky after a quick commercial break. But follow along for all the Week 2 action. Of course, we've got our live scoreboard. Download the SB Live Sports app. That's going to be the best place to get all of Todd and my stories, statewide coverage of this football season, as well as that live scoreboard, which I found so valuable when I was running up and down the sidelines at McKenzie Stadium last weekend and trying to get updates. So, Todd, thanks for your download, for being with me. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Miles Mayofsky. Before we get going, I want to take a moment to tell you about something really exciting for high school sports fans across the country. SB Live Sports has launched a free iPhone and Android app featuring the latest high school sports news here in Washington and across the country. With the SB Live Sports app, it's now even easier to follow your favorite team and tailor your experience to your interests. With real-time scores and news alerts, as well as video highlights, podcasts, photo galleries, rankings, game coverage, and much more, the app delivers on the content you want in one convenient place. The SB Live Sports app features exclusive content from on-the-ground reporters across the country, and it's the number one source for Washington high school sports fans, with coverage from reporters Todd Millis, myself, Andy Bueller, as well as SB Live's preeminent basketball mind and recruiting expert Dan Dickow. The SB Live Sports app is available at no charge in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Download it today. All right, here at Kennewick High School with the one, the only, Miles Mayofsky. Miles, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well. I to kick this off, you know, we're sitting here a couple days before your guys' second game of the season. Something I noticed last year in photos, not only were you playing with a club, but it looked like you had some new tattoos from sophomore to junior year. Is that right?
Yeah, this is right.
Walk me through, what was the inspiration behind tattoos? Is it on your left arm?
Yeah, so I have my left chest done, and I got my grandpa's favorite verse done, Philippians 14:13, and then I got ambition on my left arm, just because I feel like that's what I've gone through most of my life.
Yeah. Did you always know you wanted tattoos? Like, what compelled you to make that jump?
No, actually, my best friend showed up at my house, and he had his whole chest done, too, with his grandpa's ashes in it, and so then once my grandpa had, like, a heart attack, I was like, man, I need to get this done so he can see and everything. And I got his initials in there too.
Was he able to see?
Yeah, he's able to see. He's out here coaching every day. He's one with the fancy beard.
No way.
The bald one.
Oh, man.
Grandpa Tom.
That's how long has he been growing that thing out? For the listeners, this is an audio medium, but he's got, how long would you call it, like a, I don't even, that's, it's like more than a handlebar.
Yeah, it's like a handlebar on steroids, basically, I would say. Just dangles down.
That's pretty cool. What's it like having him on staff, having him around?
Oh, it's awesome. He's been there for me since grade kid, so he's been there my whole life, just coaching me up and just on my case 24/7.
That's good, though, yeah. I imagine.
No, yeah, it's awesome. But sometimes, you know, you get mad, but it's all love, you know. That's what you got to remember.
So you guys are one game at this point into your senior season, and you know, there's pretty high expectations around this program. I know internally, I know externally. You know, media polls, we had you guys, you know, pretty high in the top 10. What is your mindset going into this year when you guys have a strong senior class, you haven't been able to play for a playoff in 2 years, and, oh, hey, your sophomore season, you guys, you know, make this 15-year in the making run to the state semifinals?
Well, I think now, like, it's more of just mentally knowing the game and just preparing for ourselves, because it's just us versus ourselves most of the game, and it is us versus ourselves during the game, and we just got to focus on ourselves and watch film and just be working hard like we have been.
Did you feel like you guys as a team got the most out of the spring season? You know, it's, you, for so long you guys were shut down, and you know, you didn't even know if the season was going to happen, and then you guys get 6 games, no playoffs. You still get to compete for an MCC crown. You guys had a couple great games. That last game against Kamiakin was a great game. What did you feel like you guys got out of that season?
Honestly, just to have fun with the senior class, basically, because we had a lot of friends that were seniors, and we were out here probably almost every day throwing routes 7-on-7, and then just that last game, it was just fun. And, like, it wasn't even like we were so mad after that game. It was like, man, we gave it our all. It was fun playing with our brothers, and I mean, we had, like, it's not an excuse, but we had so many injuries where it was just like, wow, we're proud of ourselves, you know? But we're never proud to lose, but it's like, wow, we're just proud, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you talk about injuries. You were maybe like the first guy on the injury reserve list. You probably, I can't believe you played. So you had a broken wrist, was that?
No, I broke my thumb.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, I broke my thumb, and then I had a high ankle sprain. That right after this season, I got put straight in a boot because just wanted to keep playing. And then, so that was my, I just couldn't play basketball, and I was okay with that because I knew I gave it my all out there.
So you played in, you know, a hard cast that was wrapped probably, I mean, it looked like you were carrying around a giant club. Walk me through just the your mentality, and I don't think anyone would have, you know, pointed a finger at you and said, I can't believe you didn't play through a broken thumb with a hard cast. What motivated you to keep going?
Honestly, it was just mental toughness. Like, Coach Raff has built that into my brain. It's just mental toughness. And I was out there and I was like, man, if I can do this. You know, like, it never crossed my mind that I couldn't do it, or I wasn't going to play. I was definitely playing this junior year because of COVID and everything. I was definitely playing.
So I want to read out your stat line from the Richland game. And, you know, this was in, Jeff Morrow wrote this in the Tri-City Herald, but you had, on one arm, 105 rushing yards, a touchdown, 44 yards receiving, a couple tackles for loss, and then a one-handed interception. All with playing with basically one arm.
Yeah.
Did you notice it when you were out there? Were you able to, with your injuries and plus that, you know, throw the high ankle sprain in there, are you able to just kind of get in the flow where that all that stuff kind of goes away?
Yeah, definitely. There was one time I had to run up the sideline, and I used my cast actually to hit someone in their head, and like it was just so fun. Like, I just didn't even think about it. And then on my one-handed pick, it was just like I bopped it up and boom, I just grabbed it, and I just started laughing. Like, literally, I was running, I was just laughing. I was like, oh my gosh, it's crazy, but yeah.
So your sophomore season, you had both hands at your disposal. You guys come in under a first-year head coach. Randy Affolter moves over after 22 years at Ellensburg, and he steps in, and I remember talking to him back then, and he was going in the preseason, you know, hey, I might be new around here, but we've got, you know, the co- cupboard's not bare. Like, we've got pieces, we've got dudes. And, you know, you guys go and, you know, win the 3A crown in the league that year. And walk me through that crazy playoff run that you guys made that year, coming out of the MCC, coming out of the central part of the state when you hadn't really seen teams from the west side. And let's start with that opening playoff game. Because I gotta come clean here. So I was coming back from Spokane. I had covered that was a Saturday game, right? Guys in Yelm, the 11 seed and the 6 seed.
Yeah.
So I had covered Mount Spokane and Peninsula the night before. And I'm driving back, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, I've got two great playoff games I could choose between. We got Mount Si visiting Chiawana, and then we've got Yelm Kennewick. I picked Mount Si Chiawana. I went and covered that game. And I don't want to say I regret it, but boy, I missed a good football game because you guys beat those guys in overtime. Well, what was that game like? There's going back and forth.
It was crazy. And like, Yelm played a great game and we played a great game. And like, man, it really just came down to that one kick and he just missed. And it was just crazy. I remember I think a 73-yard touchdown down the sideline, and just to hear all the fans just start screaming, I was like, oh my gosh, like, let's go. And then that really, I feel like, because that was probably one of the bigger plays in the game, that run. And then that first, literally the first play, we made a tackle, fumble, scored. And so that was just huge. And then Jagger blocking like three kicks or something like that, and it was just huge. It was just big play after big play after big play.
And to win that game on a block PAT, I mean, at that point, did you guys feel like, you know, hey, we're in the playoffs, we're kind of playing with house money?
Yeah, basically, we felt lucky. That's really all that we felt.
So I want to get into that that mentality you guys carried that year, and just what that did for you as a sophomore, and now this group you have now, and all those guys who were in the program at that time, but maybe not in feature roles. Mm-hmm. You go from winning that Yelm game, and you guys made a state semifinal run. What was the mentality through that run? You guys to that point hadn't made the playoffs in some 15 years, and so, you know, it wasn't like you were carrying with you all this recent program history. What was your guys' mindset? What kept you guys going?
Honestly, I think what kept us going is we were close as a team, and like, I think you could tell when we were out there playing is we were close as a team. Like, against the Bethel game, Bethel had way better players than us, but as a team, we were better because we were close. And Bethel had like three Pac-12 kids, I think. Two of them, I think, are at UW right now. And like, it's just crazy that we had, I think that senior class, not one of those kids went and played, besides Jagger. Jagger went to play at Weber State. But like, other than that, nothing. And it's just crazy that Coach F really put in brotherhood and just worry about ourselves and that stuff.
Talk a little bit about Coach Affolter and just his influence coming in, and what he has taught you guys, and kind of what his program culture is about.
I mean, he just really, like, the first day, I remember freshman summer, I saw Coach Aff, and like, he just taught me just to have fun, but really it's all about work ethic and about being together as a team, and knowing the team around you, and knowing the freshmen, knowing the JV, you know, and just working hard.
Yeah. Do you feel like, you know, I listened this morning to an interview with Chris Peterson on Colin Coward's radio show, and he made a comment about, hey, it takes about 18 months, and this is the, you know, Power 5 level, because as a head coach, it takes about 18 months to implement your vision into a program. Coach Affolter, yeah, at least at the high school level here, it sure took a lot less than that. What about him do you feel like kind of allowed that to happen, for not only him to come in and kind of pitch his vision of this program, but for everyone else to buy in, including the younger guys?
Coach Aff actually got, I'd say, a group of 15 kids. I was included, like, kind of like the top, not top players, but like kind of the top captains, I would say. And so he would ask us what our goals were and what our goals were for this year. And I think that just really did it for us. And I mean, obviously it paid off. We didn't make it to the state finals, but we gave it our all. And Coach Aff definitely, that's what I think he did is,
what's the expectation this year? Now you guys have gotten a little taste of what the playoffs feel like and what you guys can do there. You bring back a pretty talented group this year with, you know, high expectations within the program. What are those? How do you view what you guys might be able to accomplish this year?
I mean, I think we definitely have a run for the state title, but we're trying to take it just one game at a time and really just, one, be good as a team, come together as a team, and then focus on ourselves. Don't focus on the next team. Like, obviously watch film and stuff, but I'm saying, like, don't just focus on the other team that we're playing, and we don't even need to worry about the East Side teams right now and all the Seattle teams. We just need to focus on ourselves, win the MCC, and then we'll focus on playoffs. And I think that'll do us good.
Yeah. I want to get into that East Side, West Side thing a little bit because, you know, you made a comment to me, and not to air you out before we started recording, where you're like, you know, you grew up here in Kennewick. You know, this is your bubble. This is your circle. You know how guys work out here. You had a perception of the Seattle area and, you know, the West Side, the greater Seattle area, before you went over there and got a little taste of it. What have you learned as you've done things like, you know, whether it's recruiting visits, whether it's, you know, playing with FSP, Ford Sports Performance in the summer?
I've learned that those kids down in Seattle and that Portland area, I mean, they're there for business. They're not there just because their parents are paying the money to be there or whatever. They're there to get out of here and go to a Power 5 school or go D1 and get their college paid for and then go play in the NFL. That's what I've learned.
Let's talk about your recruitment a little bit. Got an early offer from Army. Am I missing one? Is there
Louisiana?
That's right. Raging Cajuns.
Yeah, Raging Cajuns. Yeah.
Where are you at right now in that process, and what's it been like, kind of navigating that over, you know, a year and a half where you have pandemic circumstances and all that?
Oh well, there's a lot of I would say Big Sky schools that I've been looking at, and WSU is a big one for me, I think, just because hometown, you know, and not far from my family and stuff. But I mean, that I think if I went and played somewhere far away, like Army, my parents, my family would be able to come down and see me and just that stuff. But really, it's just being patient. My coach and a guy I know named Steve Whitehead, my trainer down here, he's taught me to trust the process, and just that's what he's been telling me since freshman year. And so the offer that I actually got freshman year, he went to that school, Louisiana. So it was Coach Tim Leaguer. And so that's what he's taught me, and that's what I've been just going by. Just with the pandemic, I got a little nervous when my friends started getting offers, and I wasn't. And then I got the Army offer, and I was like, man, I just trusted it. And, yeah.
Is Army a school you're strongly considering at this point? Do you have any that, you know, of at least the two offers you have, or any schools that are talking to you right now that – you're kind of leaning toward?
Yeah, I would say Army's up there. The academic and just the offense they run and the coaches and the brotherhood. That's what I think is a big thing down there. But I'm just staying patient right now. It's kind of like even right now. Like, I would say just got to trust the process and stay patient. Just see, tell what I have after the football season, after playoffs.
Okay. Final two questions. Go-to pregame routine. Do you have one?
Yeah, so actually, I'll go to Yolk's and get fried chicken and macaroni.
Really?
Yeah.
All that before a football game?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Fried chicken and macaroni. And then that's really it.
Yeah.
I used to drink pickle juice, and I haven't this year.
Pickle
yet.
Juice. What's the mindset behind that?
Oh no, just to like not cramp, and actually I like it.
It works?
Yeah, it works, I would say. I haven't really, knock on wood or whatever, but I haven't cramped, so yeah.
So pickle juice and fried chicken and mac is the Miles Mayovsky pregame. What about postgame? Anything you do postgame, songs you listen to, traditions with teammates?
I would say postgame, I put my ice on my knees, I go home, I shower. I do listen to Can't Be Touched. That's a good song. I don't know. I forgot the guy that sings it, but Can't Be Touched. And then I just shower, and then I don't even, sometimes I don't even eat.
Really?
I just lay down. And that's it for me for the night.
Right on. Well, you got a big one this Friday against Southridge, and a lot to look forward to the rest of this season. So, Miles, thanks for being with me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Thank you.
podcast is brought to you by SB Live Washington and SB Live Sports, your national hub for high school sports news and information. Subscribe for free wherever you get podcasts. If you do it on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and review to help us best serve you, the listener. You can find our website at scorebooklive.com/Washington. There you'll see news, features, highlights, podcasts, and everything in the world of high school sports across this state. As always, a big shout out to our sponsor, Washington Federal. Thanks to Dan Dickow and Todd Millis for bringing the heat every week. This song you're hearing is by the band Woodrow. It's called So Far Away. It's written by James Schroeder, Carl Johnson, and my dad, Matt Bueller. I'm Andy Bueller. We'll be back next week.